begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf mem vav. Begin on the bottom of daf mem hayam beis, three lines up in the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara begins to explain the mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, continuing on the theme of the previous mishnahs of tikkun na'olam, about different rabbinic institutions to prevent challenging situations. So one of them was, as the mishnah said, if someone divorces his wife for one of two reasons, either because of shemra, where there's rumors going on about his wife that she was mezana, or if she took a neder, and he says, I don't want a wife that's making everything forbidden on her as a neder. So the Tanna Kama said, lo yachzer. He's not allowed to go ahead and remarry her, even though generally a person could be machzig rishas, so if no one else had married her in the middle. However, in these situations where he divorced her for these reasons, he can't remarry her. And then there were other Tannaic opinions qualifying when do we say that if she made a neder and he divorced her for that reason, he cannot take her back. But that was the opinion of the Tanna Kama. Now, as we explained from Rashi in the Mishnah, that there are two different Amaruk interpretations of what is the Tikkun Olam. Why is it if a husband divorces his wife because of a neder or because of a shemra that he can't take her back? Now, that's what the Gemara will quote two different versions of Rav Yisuf bar Menuhmei Omer of Nachman, which will then specify when do we say this Tikkun Olam, which will then clarify these two different approaches and what was the reason for the Tikkun Olam. As the Gemara explains, Omer Rabbi Yisuf bar Menuhmei Omer of Nachman, he says this, that the Tanna Kama said that if the woman made a neder or because she has a bad name, that's why the husband divorced her, that lo yachzer, he can't remarry her. He says, but behu sha'amala, that's only if he told her when he was divorcing her, mishum shemra ani moitziacha. Well, you know why I'm divorcing you? Because of the rumors going on about you, about the bad name that you have. Or as we continue on top of Membav Manav, mishum neda ani moitziacha. I'm divorcing you because of the neder that you took. Now, says Rav Nachman, it's in that type of a case that the Rabbanim in the Tanna Kama Mishnah said that it's forbidden to remarry that type of a woman. But if he didn't say that when he divorced her, that he's divorcing her because of the neder or because of the rumors, then actually he could remarry her. What would the reason be for that? So as the Gemara explains, Ksava, Rav Nachman held that time of the reason of the Mishnah is my. What's the reason? What is the tikkun olam that you can't remarry such a woman that you're divorcing? Which again, and therefore Rav Nachman is qualifying, it's only when he tells her, when he's divorcing her, that's why he's divorcing her, is mishum kil kulo, is because of the problems this first husband could cause for the next husband that she marries after he divorces her. Because he's going to say, wait a second, had I known that the rumors were false, or that the neder that you took would have hafara, that it could be nullified, then even if they would have given me all the money in the world, I would never have divorced you. And that's where Rav Nachman qualifies, that it's talking about a case where he says, and I even said when I divorced you that's why I'm divorcing you. And therefore, since I verbalized that, my intention always was when I divorced you that I would remarry you if I ever found out that the rumors were false. And therefore, what that essentially does at that later point in time, that creates that the get that he had given her is actually nullified. And the sons that she has from the second new husband are mamzerim, are illegitimate, because she was always married to the first husband. That's where the tikkun olam comes in, and we tell him, before he divorces her, we tell him like this, you should know, and that's the halacha that we're saying in our Mishnah, you will never be able to remarry her. And you're not believed anymore to say that, oh, you would never have wanted to divorce her, because since you know that now you can't remarry her, even if she doesn't get married to someone else, and you're not concerned with that, you still go ahead with the divorce, you are revealing your intention that she's not so dear by you, and don't come later and say, oh, had I known, oh, I would never have divorced, if I wouldn't know the rumors are false. We're telling you now. Don't come at a later point in time and say, if you would have known, because we're telling you now that you can't remarry her. That's the intention of the tikkun olam. So therefore explains the Gemara, that's what Rav Nachman is saying over here. I amar lahachi, if when he's divorcing her, he tells her, I'm divorcing you because of the neder or because of the shemra, then matzi mekalkala. In those type of cases, he would be able to create problems because it's almost like a condition in the get that he's divorcing only because of the neder. If it turns out at a later point in time that there's no more neder because she could be mefer or matrit, or that the rumors are false, so then it's somewhat of a flaw in the get as if she's not divorced. But if he doesn't tell her at the time that he's divorcing her that it's because of the neder, because of the shemra, then lo motzi mekalkala, then he can't cause her any problems later on for her new husband, because he's not believed to say that he had divorced her because of the bad rumors about her. Because you never said that at the time of the get. Why should we think that because of that, now you want to claim that the get you had given was wrong? And therefore, since in such a case, he cannot cause problems for her with her with a new husband that she would marry. So therefore, we have no reason to institute the tikkun ha'olam that we should make her forbidden ever to be remarried by this man. Because the whole reason why we said that lo yavzer is so that he shouldn't come later and say, oh, had I known. We're saying, no, you can't. You know that going forward, even if she doesn't marry someone else, you can't remarry. But that's only because of the kilkel that could happen. Here, the kilkel can't happen because he's not believed to say that he had divorced her because of the rumors or the nether, because he didn't say it at the time of the nether. And therefore, we have no reason to institute tikkun ha'olam to say that lo yavzer, and actually in such a case, as what Rav Nachman is saying in this first version, if he didn't say the reason why he's divorcing her, then actually he would be able to remarry her if she had not yet married to another person. That's one version. Ikid Amri, those who say a different version. Also about saying it, but Amr Rav Yosef Mar Ben Yumi, Amr Rav Nachman, this version says not that it's talking about that the tikkun ha'olam was when he does say it, but rather this version has it as Sarach Shiyer Malach. If the reason why he's divorcing her is because of the neder or the shemra, what the chacham are telling you is that you have to tell her that have yadas, you should know shemashum shemra ani mitziyacha. It's because of the bad name, the bad rumors about you that I'm divorcing you. Umshum neder ani mitziyacha, and it's because of the neder that you took that I'm divorcing you. In other words, that was part of the tikkun chachamim that when he's divorcing her, he should have to tell her this. Now, however, as Rashi points out, obviously whether he says it or not, he's still the halacha is going to be layachzer. It, not like the first version that says that it's only when he says it that you can't lo yachzer. This version holds no. In all situations lo yachzer, as we're going to see, this version holds a different interpretation than the tikkun ha'olam. But part of the tikkun ha'olam is, and that she should know about this. Why? Ksavar time, because this second version of Rav Nachman holds the reason why the Chacham said that lo yachzer, you can't remarry her. My, what's the reason? It's actually because of a kenas. It's a penalty on the woman. Because we don't want such a breach in the Jewish women in areas of modesty and immorality and of taking nidarm and of vows, because they're very severe things. And this woman made a neder, and this woman, there is suspicion about her having committed adultery. That's why you have to tell her. The whole reason why lo yavzer, why the husband can't remarry her, is because you did this. You had this breach. And therefore we tell her that because we want her to know that. But yes, even if we don't tell her, the halacha according to the second version would be lo yachzer, because ultimately that's the takana that they made, because to create a geder for a rais and a darim, we want the women to know, you have to realize if you do such thing like this and your husband divorces you, he's not going to be able to remarry you, so women are going to be cautious about creating some type of a breach in these areas. So the Gemara says, Tani Kalish Nekama, V'Tani Kalish Nebasra. We have two different brises that support these two versions of what Rav Yosef Ben Yumi had said in the name of Rav Nachman. Tani Kalish Nekama, we have a brise that supports the first version, where Amr Meir says, Neima Amr HaMoitzeyas Ishta Mishom Shemra Lo Yachzer. What's the reason why they had said, this Tikkun Olam, that if someone divorces his wife because of the bad rumors, he can't remarry her? Or Mishom Nedo Lo Yachzer, because she makes a vow, and that's why he divorces her, he cannot remarry her. So says Rav Meir, because Shema Telech V'tunas La'acher, because maybe she's going to go after he divorces her and is going to get married to someone else. V'nimtzu Devarim Badoyin, and it's going to turn out that the rumors that had given her a bad name turned out they were false. And so too regarding the case of the Neder, that it was Mutter, it was later permitted. V'yemen, the first husband is going to say, oh, Ilu Ha'yisi Yedei Shekeinu, had I known that that's what it could be, meaning that the whole rumor was false. You were always faithful all along, or that the neder wasn't going to have to be final. Even if they would have given me 100 mon, I would never have divorced you. Now the nimtza get bottle. So that creates a nullification in the get because it was done in error, because it was based on the premise of the neder and of the erva, and they turned out to be false. Thus it makes that the children she has from the second husband are illegitimate because she was never really divorced from their first husband. So the fikach emrim lay, therefore they tell the first husband before he divorces his wife, they tell him, have you a day you should know, someone divorces his wife because of the reasons of shemra, he can't remarry her. And if he's divorcing her because of the neder, he can't remarry her. Now, since he's not concerned, and he still goes ahead and divorces her. So now at a later point in time, he can't come ahead and be mekalkel and ruin her in her second marriage because he already revealed that she's not so dear. Don't come and say, oh, I know my precious wife, I would never have divorced her. You knew that you can't remarry her. So that you can't come ahead now and later claim to nullify the get. That was the reason for the tikkun. Olam again, like the first version of Rav Nachman. Tani Kalish Nabas, we have a brisa supporting the second version, where Amr Abulazar Reb Yesi. He says, what was the reason why they said that if someone divorces his wife because of a bad name, he can't remarry her? And because of a neder, then he cannot remarry her. So that there shouldn't be the Jewish women have a breach in immorality and in vows. That's why they tell him, Amr la, you should tell her, Haviyadas, you should know. You know I'm divorcing you? It's a penalty for you because you had a breach in these two areas. And that's the extension of the tikkun olam, which is that he can't remarry her after that point because we want the women to get this message to say, you should just know this is divorce, it's going to be final. He can't be machzik rishasa in this situation, again, as a geder for erva and of nedarim. Again, those are the two different interpretations that we have that are also tanoik machlokes. So the Mishnah said, the next Tanoik opinion, Rabbi Huda Omer, he said it depends what type of a neder it is. It's not absolute like the Tanakhama said. He said, Kol neder shiyadu by rabim, any neder that was known by the public, meaning she made a neder out in the public in front of many people, where that, as the Gemara will explain, the husband cannot be made for such a neder, can't nullify it. So then lo yachzer. Then if he divorces her for such a neder, he can't remarry her. But if it wasn't a neder that was made in public, it was made in private, then even if he divorced her because of that neder, he could remarry her. Now the Gemara asks, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, my time with Rabbi Huda, what's the reason of Rabbi Huda that he said that a neder that was made in public does not have hafara? Because that was the premise that he based on, since there's no hafara, so that's the type of a neder that... that's where we create this knas of this tikkun olam that he can't remarry her. But if there could be hafar, then even if he divorces her, it's not such a breach, so then he can go ahead and remarry her. So what's the reason that he holds that if it's made in barabim, then the husband can't be made for it? The chesed like it says, opposed to in Yeshua, it says, v'lehikum b'nei Yisrael, and this is in the context of the Givonim, which was a nation that was supposed to be killed out by the Jewish people when they came to Eretz Yisrael, but they came under the guise of other people, and thus made a truce with the Jewish people. So I said the Jewish people did not kill them. Because the leaders of the Jewish people had sworn to them that they're not going to kill them. Now, the truth is that once they found out that they were really Givonim, that they're really the people that were from the from the seven nations, they should have been shoyel on their shvu. They should have undone their oath. If not for the fact, and this is the source of Rabbi Huda, because it was a neder that was made barabim, was made in front of all the peoples, and that's why you can't be made for such a neder. That's why they didn't kill them. So that's the source that you see that a neder shayed barabim is ein loyafar. Now, however, the Gemara tells of the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan, meaning the Tanakhama, our Mishnah, who argues and holds that there is hafara, hasam over there by the case of the Givinim, it's not because that there was no hafara, because actually, contrarily, that you don't even need hafara, because michal shvu alayu klal, what do you think, that there was actually an oath that was incumbent upon the Jewish people at all? What do you mean? As the historical episode unfolded, it was the whole oath was made in error, because kivan de amr lohu me'eretz ruchay gabonu, since the Givonim said to the Jewish people we're coming from very far away land, and thus we just want to make peace with the Jewish people, which, okay, fine, you're not from Eretz Canaan, we don't have to kill you out. And thus they made a shvua that they're not going to kill them. But v'loy bo, they didn't come from far. They were from the shvumis. They were just hiding under a guise. And that was a mistake. And there was a shvua betais, which is not a shvua. So loy chayla shvua elavayu klal. So in truth, really, the oath didn't take effect on the Jewish people whatsoever. Now, so not because the Rabbi Yehuda is bringing a source because it was made b'rab, and that's why there was no hafara. No. V'haydu loy katlinu. So then why didn't they kill them if there was no oath holding them back? That was Mishum Kedushas Hashem. That was because of the sanctification of Hashem's name, where that the nations of the world should not say, oh, the Jewish people, they violate their oath because they swore to them they're not going to kill them, and then they killed them, which really there was no oath halachically, but because of Kedushas Hashem, that's why they didn't kill them, and that's why they say there's no source from there to prove that if it's a neder, that ain't lo hafara, and thus to support Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that over there, that's a big breach in the Darm. And therefore, they're lo yachza. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees regarding the main premise of if you make a neder just in private, he holds that there we didn't create, there's no kanas over there, and neither are we concerned for the halacha of kilkul. Now, the Gemara asks for kama rabbim. Now, what's considered many people to create, at least for the qualification of Rabbi Yehuda, that it's sheyad barabim ein lo hafar? So, if Nachman Amah, he says gimel, three people are already considered a public. And if she makes it in front of three people, according to Rabbi Huda, that would be a case of Ein La'afara, and if he divorced her for that, then he can't remarry her. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asar, he says it's 10 people. So the Gemara explains the reason for their opinions. Rav Nachman Amar Gimli says, why three? Because Yamim Beis, in the context of a Zava, it says the word Yamim Rabim, that if she has this Ziva that's flowing from her for 3 days, so then she becomes a Zava Gedoyla. How do we know it's 3 days? So the Gemara in Masechet doesn't need the Darshans because it says Yamim Rabim. So Yamim, plural, the minimum amount of plural is Beis is two. When it says Rabim, many days, that adds on another one, that's Gimel, that's three. So you see the term of Rabim, it connotes three. So therefore when we're talking about a Rabim, for Nedu Sheyed Rabim would be also three. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Hasara, he says no, it's 10 because the Chsiv Eda. In other words, when it talks about there in Sefer Yeshua, that Shvua was made in public. Now we find that the term Eda is also by the Meraglim, where it says Le'eda Hara. Now although there was 12 of them, but that excludes Yeshua and Kolob, that was not part of the bad counsel of the Meraglim. So when it says over there Eda, the assembly, it's referring to the 10 remaining ones. So we see that 10 people are a Rabbim, as we see that was actually the Rabbim that it was by the Shvua itself, which is the source of Rabbi Yehuda, which was by the Givinim, and that's why they couldn't do Hafara. So that's where the source is, according to Bitzchok, is that it has to be 10, like we find elsewhere that the term Eda means 10. Now the next opinion mentioned in the Mishnah was Reb Meir Eimer. He gave a different qualification for what type of a neder, not every neder, and not like Rabbi Yehuda said that it depends on Sheyed B'Rabim or not. He gave a different qualification because he's not going like a Yehuda who holds it because of the Knas, which is like the Lishna Basta that we explained from Rav Yosef Ben Yumi, Omer of Nachman. Rather, he holds like the first interpretation, that the reason is because of Kilkel. So Rav Meir, he says it depends. Kol neder shetzarach, he said that any neder that would require a sage to be matur the neder, where the sage has to figure out what type of regret you had for making that, then that's where we said lo yachzer. But if you don't need a chacham, and the husband could have done it himself, it was an open and ready to be made for neder, then he should have done it, and you didn't do it. And if you didn't do it, you can't come later and claim that, oh, had I known, what do you mean, had you known, you could have done it. And there's no concern for Kilkel. Then actually, therefore, he would be able to be remarry her after he divorced her. V'chulu etc. Where Rebbe Elazar, however, he argues, and he says that no. Actually, the case of Rebbe Meir says that lo yachzer, he says, really, in actuality, there should be yachzer, but it is going to be lo yachzer because of the other case. Because when the husband could do it himself, then when you don't need a chacham, then there is a concern, says Rabbi Lazar, of kilkel, and therefore lo yachzer. And because of that case, we also included the case when tzar hataras chacham, that they're also lo yachzer. So Tanya Lina Braisa that elaborates on this and says Rabbi Lazar, he says lo asru tzarich. Really, the case of when you need a chacham should not be forbidden, not like Rabbi Meir. Says, but ultimately, I do agree that it's going to be forbidden only because of the case when you don't need the chacham. So the Gemara has been like him. So what are they arguing about? Why is it Remeo holds that he could claim that had I known the chacham would be matur, I would have had the chacham do it and I would never have divorced her, thus creating the possibility of kilkel? Where Belaza holds that no, really, there's no concern of kilkel over there. But again, only incidentally, to include it in the problem of when you don't need a chacham. So that's why we also made that case aser. So the Gemara explains that Rav Meir Savar, because Rav Meir holds, Adam Reitzah Shetes Baze Ishta Bebezna. A person wants that his wife should be degraded, embarrassed in court. In other words, as Rash explains, it doesn't mean he wants that to happen. It means he's not particular. And there, in other words, if it would gain a certain gain, so then he would go ahead with that. So therefore, in the case of when you need a Hataras Chacham, that could have permitted her from the nether, he could at a future point in time be mekalkel her and ruin her, saying, I would have had you go ahead to the chacham, to the sage. I didn't know that's a possibility. And it's true, he would have done that, because Rav Meir holds a person would put his wife through the court to have her neder be done with, and that he could stay married to her. So that's why he holds that when in the case of neder shatar hataras chacham, that they are loyachzer, because it's a concern. Rav Elazar savor, but however, Rav Elazar holds ein odem reitzer shetes baze ishto bez. No, a person does not want. No husband wants his wife to go through that, to go through the embarrassing a situation, going to the dayan, going to the court, and therefore you can't come later and claim that you, had you known, you would have done that, because we know you would not have done that. So therefore, says Rav Elazar, really, in the case of the only way that you could have been matri was through the chacham, you could not create kilkel, and therefore really you should be able to remarry her. But, however, we don't let you because of the other case. The case of when you could have done it yourself, where Belazah holds there, we are concerned that he could claim, oh, I didn't know I could do it myself, and had I known, I would have done it. And there is a possibility of kilkul, and therefore lo yachzer. So with that, we included the other case of Ataras Chacham, that there also we say lo yachzer. Now then the Mishnah concluded by saying, Amr B'Yisir B'Yehudi says, Maisa B'Tzidon B'Chulu, there was an incident in Tzidon where the husband had made a neder, and they permitted him to remarry her after he divorced her because of the neder. So the Gemara asks, "My Tano, what was taught earlier in the Mishnah regarding a neder that the husband made?" The Tani Maitse, that the Mishnah concludes with an incident, where generally the Mishnah only usually brings an incident related to the halachas that it brings toward in that Mishnah, but we weren't talking about any neder that he makes. All the halachas of the Mishnah regarding Tikkun Olam are regarding a neder that the woman makes, which is for a whole different reason that doesn't apply to the man. Why is this story being introduced? So the Gemara says, Chisuri mechzuri v'achakitani, right, there are words missing from the Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to read. Bameh devomamum, when did we say in the Mishnah that lo yachzer, that if there is a neder here, and that's why there was divorce, the husband can't remarry her, that was kishanadrihi, that's when she had taken the neder. Avol nader ihu, but if he made the neder, like in the case of the Mishnah, that he's going to divorce her, then Yachzer, then actually, if he wants to, he could remarry her, because there's no concern of Kilkula. The whole concern of Kilkula, which is the Tikkun Olam, and that's why he can't remarry her, is only when she makes the neder, and he could come later and claim, oh, had I known that I could be matter her neder, I would never have divorced her, which doesn't apply to a neder that he's taking, where there you run into that concern, and therefore there he could remarry her. Now, V'amr, Rabbi Yisbi Hud, and that's what the Mishnah continues, and he says, Maisiname bit Sidon, so too there's a story in Sidon, which is the name of a place, the Echad Sha'amal Ishta, where a man said to his wife, Kainim im einim begar shich, there's a neder of, there's a isra of hektish of neder if I don't divorce you. Vigirsha, and he divorced her. Vetu lechacham shech zren, and the sages permit him to remarry him, and they tikkun olam because of tikkun olam. That's where it comes into the Mishnah, saying that it's only a problem when she makes the neder, but not when he makes the neder. Now the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, just to clarify the story that happened over there in Tzidon. My Kainim. In other words, because kainim is generally a term of being makdish something, where he's making something forbidden on himself, like hektish. Now, what was this husband making forbidden on himself? It sounds like he's making a neder that he's going to divorce her. But that's not kainim. Kainim is not a shvuah, an oath. It creates a neder in an object. What is he forbidding on himself relating to the fact that he's going to divorce her? So Amrav Huna, he says, ba'oimer, it's where he says, ya'asru kol perisha ba'oilam olai. All the fruits of the world should be forbidden on me im eini megarshech if I don't divorce you. And therefore, that was what he was saying when he says, koinim peris alai im eini megarshech, that I'm creating an iser of koinim on all the fruits in the world if I don't divorce you. In other words, which is compelling him to divorce her, and then he did divorce her. Still, even though it was a neder that compelled, again, he could remarry, because there's no concern. As the Mishnah said, and they permitted him to remarry her. Which the Gemara asked, Pshita, that's pretty obvious. What should be the concern? I mean, generally, there's no reason why you can't remarry a woman, whatever your motive is. But the woman, again, there was other concerns, either because of knas or because of the kilkel, which doesn't apply when he makes the neder. So that the Gemara says, no. Actually, similar to the interpretation that says that the reason why, when he divorces her because of the neder, he can't remarry her because of a knas, because we don't want B'nai Yisrael to be putzim b'nedarim. So that's what the Gemara says, we would have thought similarly regarding the husband. That is Ma'adah Tema Ligzim Hashem Dereb Nasan. We would have thought that we should make a gzera, that if he divorced her because of a neder that he made, that he can't remarry her. Like Reb Nasan says, the Tanakh Lina Braisa. Reb Nasan says that Hanoider, Ki'ilu Banabama, if someone makes a neder, it's as if he built his own private altar at a time when it's forbidden to make your own private altar. and v'amakaymoy, and someone that actually fulfills the neder that he made, in other words, and he doesn't go to the sage to permit his neder, to undo it, ke'ilo hikrov alei karbon, as if he then goes to the next step, and he brings a karbon on that bama. Now, which concludes his sin. Now, the reason for that is because this is the same thing over here, where here the person is making himself accustomed to making the darim. So we would think that, oh, we would penalize him. You made a neder and you're putting yourself in situations which are forbidden to do. We don't want you making a darim. It's like you're making a bana. So maybe you're not allowed to remarry the wife that you divorced because of that reason. That's the chiddush of the time of the Mishnah, that no, by him we're not concerned for that. And even though it was a neder that caused him to divorce her, he could go ahead and remarry her. There we did not make any concern. Now the Mishnah concluded, and why? And they tikkun olam. So the Gemara asked, my tikkun olam maker, what type of tikkun olam is there in regards to this last halacha when he makes the neder, he can remarry her? How is that tikkun olam? What is that? What does that mean, tikkun olam? We said you could remarry her because, which would seemingly be obvious, but we said that the chiddush is that we're not making like a gzeir because of Reb Nosson, but what's the tikkun olam? So Amrav Sheshes, he says, you're right, Aresha. It's actually going back on the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if the wife made a neder that the husband is loyavs, he can't remarry her. So at the end of the Mishnah is concluding, and the reason for that halacha is because of tikkun olam. Again, either one of the two interpreters that we said in the Gemara, either the tikkun olam is because of kilkel, that it could cause problems for her when she marries a second person, or because we don't want the women to be prutzis by rais and nedarim, but it's actually going on the Reisha, not in the case of when he makes the neder. Or Avinam, he says, no, lo ilma seif, it's actually going on this last case of when he makes the neder. V'hachik tani, and this is what the Mishnah means when it ends up, mnei tikkun olam, meaning, ein bezu mnei tikkun olam. That, and here there is no tikkun olam. So what it's saying is that the sages permitted him to remarry her when it says, because of tikkun olam, in other words, which here there is no tikkun olam, to make it forbidden. That's why it says that because of tikkun olam would be the only reason why you wouldn't be able to, and here there is no tikkun olam. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, where if there was a specific reason, and there are certain situations where if that's why he divorces her, so then we say because of tikkun olam lo yachzor, he's not allowed to remarry her, even if she didn't even marry anyone else yet. A case like this is hamitzias ishtai. If someone lets his wife go, he divorces his wife with a get. Mishum islandis, because turns out she's an islandess. An islandess is a woman that has lacking certain female feminine attributes, which it makes it not possible for her to conceive and so on, which he didn't recognize these symptoms, these signs when he got married to her. Still, as Rashi says, he requires a get to divorce her, and you don't say it's just a mekach toys, where, okay, it was like we were never engaged, because the premise was that you were a full-fledged woman with all the feminine attributes. But on that, Rashi explains, no, because what's known as in odm oisa bilas e bilas nos, a person would not make the 5 years of marriage that they had until they finally found out that she's an islandess, that means all the beers we had, the cohabitations, were out of wedlock, and therefore, even if she's really an islandess, the bia was for the purposes of kedushin. But when he finds out she's an islandess, he divorces her. Rabbi Yehuda says this too is a case of if that's why he's divorcing her, he's not allowed to remarry her. Now the reason for this is because she might end up marrying another man. And lo and behold, she might conceive and have a child from that person. And he's going to say, whoa, had I known this, even if they would have given me 100 mana, I would never have divorced you. And that was my whole purpose why I divorced you, which is that if I would find out that there's signs that you could conceive, then of course I would have remarried you. And had I known, I would have brought you back if I would have known that you're fit to have children, and I would have not have divorced you. And therefore, we tell him before he divorces her, whoa, hold on, listen up. You should know that if a person divorces his wife because she's an illness, he's never allowed to remarry her ever again, even if she doesn't marry someone else. Again, that's the same tikkun olam, because of the kilkel that could happen at a later point in time if she marries someone else and does conceive. But the chacham say no, that he could remarry her, because they're not concerned for this halacha of kilkel, which the Gemara is going to address. Seemingly, this contradicts the chacham from the previous Mishnah, who that was the halacha of the Tanakama, that was concerned for kilkel. But here, this opinion of the chacham says that yachzor, they're not concerned for kilkel, and he could remarry her if she didn't marry someone else yet. Now, says the Mishnah, if nisus la'acher, v'hoyu la'bon hemeno, if this quote-unquote islandess, who he thinks is islandess, is no necessarily medical test to conclude that she's an islandess, so she marries someone else, and she has children from that other man. Now, v'hi tevas kesu basa. Now, she says, whoa, I'm fertile. I'm able to have children. So she goes back to her first husband and claims that I want to collect my ksuba. When a woman gets divorced, she has the rights to collect the ksuba. Now, when he had divorced her, she didn't get her ksuba because it was essentially a mekach tais. It was a mistaken acquisition. But now it turns out that actually it was not a mistake. Our marriage was valid even monetarily because I am able to have children. You thought I'm an alanis. And therefore, the court didn't award me my ksuba. But now you see that I am. I want my ksuba now. So on that, Amr Yehuda, he says, similar to as he says in the Reisha of the Mishnah, that Oymelo, he tells her, oh, shtikusech yafa midiburech. Your silence is better than your words. In other words, he can say, wait a second. If I would have known that I'm going to have to end up paying out my ksuba to you, and that you are able to have children, I would never have divorced you. And then you, woman, you don't understand. You think you're gaining the ksuba. You're getting yourself into more hot water. Because then it's going to turn out that the get was batel l'mafrei. It was a mistaken get. Because I didn't know that you're not an analyst. And then you're not just going to be gaining your ksuba. You're going to be gaining banim amzerim and many different problems. And therefore, be quiet. You're better off being silent than talking. Because you're going to lose more than what you're gaining. Again, similar to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Reisha, which is this concept of creating kilkul in the future time. Now, the Gemara asked a question that we had alluded to in the Mishnah. Lememra, the Rabbi Yehuda, what it sounds like from the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, from the fact that he says, lo yachzer, if the reason why he's divorcing is because of an illness, he can't remarry her, sounds like the chayish l'kilkula. From his words, you could learn that if the husband wants to, at a later point in time, he could say, wait a second, I only divorced you because you're an illness. Turns out I was mistaken, and that it could create a kilkul. That's why Tikkun Olam tells us that we should enforce and say that no, therefore lo yachzer, so you can never create this later kilkul. And seems like Rabbanan lo yachzer l'kilkula, but the Rabbanan say that he could remarry her, and therefore he could claim later, oh, had I known that they're not concerned for kilkul. But we learned exactly the opposite in the previous mission, it is not. Like we learned, Hamoitzis ishtim mishum shemra lo yachzer, the Tanakhama, the Rabban said, that whoever divorces his wife because of bad rumors about her, can't remarry her. Umishum nedo leachzer, because of nedi can't remarry her. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. He says, kol nedi shiyed b'rabim leachzer. He says, fine. By the case of a neder where many people are heard when she made the neder, then he can't remarry her. That's because of a kenas, because that's a major breach in the darim, because it's a type of neder that the husband can't even be made for. It's a really strong neder. That we don't want people to going so potent on the neder. But he says, v'shelo yodu b'rabim leachzer. If it's a neder that the rabim didn't hear about, he could remarry her, even though it was a neder. So Alma Rabbanan Chayish L'Kilkula. So obviously we see from the previous mission that it's the Rabbanan who are concerned with Kilkul, and that's why any neder he can't remarry her, because then he could claim that had he known and thus create problems for her if she marries someone else. And Rabbi Yehuda Loi Chayish L'Kilkula, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not concerned with Kilkul, and it's only because of the Knas by Neder Shed Barabim, but a regular type of a neder between him and her, he could remarry her because he's not concerned with Kilkul. That's the exact opposite of how they're brought down in our Mishnah. So Shmuel says, you're right. As we see from the previous mission, we have to switch around the attributions of the opinions in our mission, and it has to be actually that the Chacham are the ones who say lo yachzer, and Yehuda is the one who says that yachzer, that you could remarry the woman that you divorced because she's an illness. But the Gemara asks, as we pointed out, that parallel v'amidiktani seifa. But we learned at the end of our Mishnah, nisis la'acher b'hoyu labonim heimeno. If she married someone else, this woman that he divorced because he thought she was an illness, and she had children from him, Vitevas ksubasa, now she's claiming ksuba from her first husband. So Rabbi Yehuda, oimel shtikusach yafa midibruch. So Rabbi Yehuda said, your silence is better than your speech. Now, machlal, it's what's inferred from that statement, is Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kukul. Rabbi Yehuda's concerned with kilkul. What do you mean your silence is better than your speech? Oh, because if you're going to start talking, I'll say that I didn't know, had I known, I would never have divorced you. That's only a concern for people that make a claim of kilkul. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda's the one that's concerned for that. And yet you're saying that in this Mishnah, you're switching it around, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not concerned, and the Chacham are the ones that are concerned. So that the Gemara answers, no, hanami epech, even the Sefer of the Mishnah, you also have to switch around and say that it was the Chacham who said that you tell her, shtikusech yafa min diburech, because as we have to match it up with the previous Mishnah, that's one approach. Abaya amar lo'ilam lo'itepech. Abaya says, no, you don't have to switch around the attributions. And you're right. We could say that Yehuda definitely, as we see in our Mishnah, is concerned for Kilkul, and that's why he says, lo yachzer, by the case of the illness. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Bahahi, but regarding Rabbi Yehuda, the previous Mishnah, by the case of Neder, the reason why over there he wasn't concerned for Kilkel is because he holds that the for technical reasons, you can't have Kilkel. Why not? Because Savala Kareb Meir, the Savala Kareb Elazar, because he holds like two different Tanoim, as we brought in the previous Mishnah, which each one held the opposite stance regarding a Neder Shetzar Chataras Chacham or not, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds like both of them. And therefore, he holds that you can't have any situation of kilkel by neder, although he generally is concerned with kilkel, as the Gemara explains. Bit sarach, by a neder that requires the analysis and the permissibility of a chacham, savala k'reb Elazar, regarding that type of a neder, he held like Reb Elazar, who, as we explained previously, holds, in odem reitzah shetesbaza ish lebebezna, a person would not want his wife to go through the degradation of going through the courts. Therefore, he cannot say, had I known that a chacham could be matarit, I would have done that. Because although Reb Yehuda is concerned for kilkel, but not that type of a kilkel, because it's not true, you would never have put your wife through the courts. So by the case of tzarech hataras chacham, there's no concern of kilkel. And also b'she'en tzarech, and also in the other type of a case, which does not require a chacham to be matarit, that the husband himself could be mefer, sabal akreb meir. Regarding that type of a case, he holds like Reb Meir, that he says that the husband doesn't make any mistake regarding a neder that he could have been made for himself. In other words, he can't say at a later point in time, oh, had I known that I could be made for, I would never have divorced her, because it's not true. You know that you could have done that, and you didn't, and you went ahead with it anyway. So you've forgotten on that option. And you can't claim later that had I known, I would have, because you knew, and you didn't. So therefore, that's why Behuda says there's no case that you could create a kilkel. Because both neder she'tzarech hataras chacham, and both neder she'in tzarech hataras chacham, which takes up both 50% of the types in the Dharam that there are, the husband cannot later claim, had he known, he would have been able to divorce her. And therefore, only regarding the case that Yehuda says in the previous Mishnah, when it was a neder she'or the barabim, which is a next phase, a different type of a category, that there is a reason for a knas, that is where we penalize, or even because of kilkel, where we say that, okay, fine, that then he cannot go ahead and take her back. But regarding a regular neder, there, even though he's concerned with kilkel, there is no feasibility of kilkel. Now, Amar Rava says regarding this interpretation of Abaye, he says, look, what Rabbi Huda kasha, what there was only contradiction of Rabbi Huda's opinions between that Mishnah and our Mishnah? Drabon like kasha, and what? There's no contradiction between Drabon's opinion? You only resolved Rabbi Huda. What's with Rabbanan? The previous Mishnah, they are concerned for Kilkel, and here they're not concerned for Kilkel. So El Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda, Kasha Kadesh Nilan. You're right. Rabbi Huda's opinion, you resolved that, as he says in our Mishnah, we are concerned for Kilkel. But the previous Mishnah, just for technical reasons, there's no Kilkel by Neder. But the Rabban like Kasha, says, I'll also resolve the opinions of the Rabbanan. Because Man Chachamim, who's the opinion of the quote Chachamim in our Mishnah who say that if you divorce her because she's in illness, you could remarry her. It's Reb Meir, it's going like Reb Meir. Dama that he says in Masechtas Kedushin of Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, Be'inon Tnai Kafel. We need that any condition, that creating a contingency in any acquisition, it has to have a double bind condition. And any condition that's not like what's called Tanaya B'nei God B'nei Reuven, which was when Moshe Rabbeinu told them, I'll give you the land on Transjordan of Evil Yarden, but only if you go over and help the Jewish people fight the war in Eretz Yisrael proper. And also he said the other way, and if you don't go, then you're not going to get it. Then that's not considered a valid contingency. It has to have both. If you do, then, and if you don't, then. What are we talking about in our Mishnah? B'duloi kafle l'tanoi, where the condition was not doubled. In other words, he didn't tell her when he divorced her. The only thing he said was, have you dust? You should know that because you're an illness, I'm divorcing you. And he did not say, and if you're not an illness, it should not be a get. Where now it's going to be a get, even if she's not an illness, because it's not a valid condition. It's not a contingency that holds any sway in the validity of the get. And therefore, at a later point in time, it can't be makalkalha. In other words, in the previous mission, you could say the remeir is the chacham too. And the reason why it's concerned for Kilkel is because it's talking about that when he divorced her because of the neder, because of the shemra, he did it, tnai kafel. Which, so then it could be a problem at a later point in time, because it turns out if the neder's not standing anymore and the shemra's not standing anymore, that means to say then it's not a valid get, because we said in the contingency that's why he gave her the get. But our Mishnah is talking about where he only said one part of the condition. He didn't fulfill the full validity of the Tanai of saying, and if you're not an Elness, then it's not going to be a get, so therefore it's not a valid Tanai in its whole conception. And that's why, even if it turns out that she is not an Elness, it doesn't make a difference, it's going to be a get anyway, and that's why there's no concern for Kilkel, according to the Chachamim, who were explaining that's the opinion of a mayor who requires a Tanai Kafel. Nothing more continues on with the next Mishnah, again, going back on the theme of the previous Mishnah is of Tikkun HaOlam. So the Mishnah, and also regarding this about in captivity or putting oneself in a difficult situation regarding if we redeem you or not. So the Mishnah says, HaMoicher es atzmei vezbonav lo ivdekecham. If someone sells himself and his children to non-Jews, Ein poydim nisei, we don't redeem him. And as the Gemara will explain, the reason is because since this is, the person has already habituated himself to do that, he did it already once and twice and three times, so then we don't redeem him anymore. But we do redeem the children. After the father died, then he's not going to be able to go sell them back again to the non-Jews. Then we'll redeem them so that they could stay with the Jewish people. Now, Amar Vasi qualifies, as we just mentioned. Says, this is this that we said we don't redeem them if he sold himself to non-Jews. It's only if he sold himself once, twice, three times. Then we say, okay, we're not going to do this game anymore. You'll stay by the non-Jews. And when you die, we'll redeem your children. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident of Hanu b'nei Bei Michzi. There were these people, a family that was from Bei Michzi, which is the name of a place. The Yasvi Zuzim of the Kacham, that they borrowed hard loans, they borrowed from the non-Jews. Now, v'loy havalu l'mefreinu, and they didn't have money to pay back. Astu v'kugarvalu, so the non-Jews came and they took them in captivity as slaves. So asla kamei de Ravuna, so they came in front of Ravuna. Amalahu, he said to them, my avid l'chu, what can I do for you? That now we learned in our Mishnah, someone that sells himself to non-Jews, ain't paid nice, so we don't redeem them. Amalei Rebaba, but Rebaba said to Rav Huna, says, but lamadetaini Rabbeinu, but our teacher, you taught us in the interpretation of our Mishnah, is v'hu shemacha v'shana v'shilish. Here, if the family borrowed once and they don't have what they default on the loan, that they take them as slaves, but you said the halacha of the Mishnah is only if they did it once, twice, and three times. So Amalei Rav Huna said to him, Hani Margal Regili Da Avdi Hacha. Yes, this family, they're accustomed to do this. We know this family very well. They do it, and they do it, and they do it, and therefore, what can I do for you? We can't redeem you. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. That's the Tikkun HaOlam. Someone that keeps on selling himself to non-Jews, we don't redeem them from the non-Jews.